This is Ian Pickus, and we're back in the Congressional Corner today with Democrat Pat Ryan from New York's 18th District, in office since 2022. Welcome back, Pat.
Hey, thanks, Ian.
So it's a lifetime ago in politics, but I think people may remember that when you won your special election to join the Congress, one of the major issues was abortion rights. It was just after the Supreme Court Dobbs decision. And this year, there's an equal rights amendment on the ballot in New York State. Have you decided how you'll vote on that question?
Yeah, and that was 2 years ago, that special election, almost to the day. So it's been quite a wild and eventful 2 years here. This is a really important state constitutional ballot initiative, the Equal Rights Amendment, that will be on the backs of people's ballots this year. I will certainly be voting in support of the Equal Rights Amendment, which codifies abortion rights protections, codifies LGBTQ rights protections, and other critical foundational rights and freedoms that we think are important in New York State to codify, especially given the potential risks of a change in the federal government when we've seen the threats to many of those groups and other marginalized people and groups that are outlined in things like Project 2025 and that Trump has said. It's important at the state level to codify those rights in our Constitution. So I'd encourage everybody to support that.
Where are you on the latest Central Hudson rate hike request? For people who are scoring at home, the rate hike request that we talked about a few times on this show was pared back and then granted by the New York State PSC, but then that only lasts for a year, so there is a second existing request right now.
Very frustrating, not only as a customer ourselves, but as a representative of now tens of thousands of people that have been impacted by a billing fiasco that's 2 years in the running, plus hundreds of thousands that are already under such economic pressure that literally cannot afford to bear more rate increases, especially given the failures of the company over the last several years. So I strongly, publicly, vehemently oppose an additional round, to your point, of rate increases after they just increased rates. The Public Service Commission, I think, is increasingly failed, and that's the sort of state regulators, for those that aren't super in the weeds, that are supposed to oversee and hold accountable Central Hudson and other utilities, have increasingly failed to do their job, in my opinion. And the idea that right after getting one rate approval, Central Hudson comes back for another, which, by the way, includes over $1 million in proposed bonuses to their executives. Are you kidding me? So we're going to push back on that one again and really encourage and ask everybody to weigh in what will be another multi-month process that will have hopefully public hearings and be as transparent as possible.
Let me go to another state issue that you have been weighing in on. And during the convention in Chicago, New York Governor Kathy Hochul was talking about reviving her congestion pricing plan, which was paused a few weeks out from when it was supposed to begin in June, and revisiting that issue this year. What do you think?
Well, from my first day in office here, and particularly representing Orange County, west of the Hudson, where there's not even a single seat ride option for commuters into the city, the congestion pricing plan is just not fair and grounded in the reality of the lives of Hudson Valley families. It may make sense in the city, it may make sense in other places, but for my constituents, for our region, you're asking people to pay. People are already paying. We're already paying into an MTA system that drastically underserves the Hudson Valley, especially on the west side of the river. And now to ask people to pay up to several thousand dollars more per year for regular commuters, $15 a day on top of all the other tolls to folks that really in many cases have no other plausible option to take mass transit, it's just unacceptable. So I continue to hold that position. We've asked for a combination of some exceptions for public service workers, whether those are police, firefighters, teachers, others who have to go into the city to serve the city, serve the region, as well as some firm commitments, which are not at all in writing from the MTA, that if there are additional fees, we need to see where those investments will come into the Hudson Valley and improve service on the east side of the river and add service and get us to a single seat ride option, for example, in Orange County, for folks that, if that existed, I think people would take it. It's just, it's not realistic to ask people to navigate a ride that you have to somehow go through New Jersey to go 60 miles. I mean, it's just nonsensical.
Let me ask you a political related question. You know, it was widely seen as a move by Governor Hochul to take the issue off the table for this year's elections when there are a lot of Democrats in very close races. And we know the last time that key seat flips in New York State helped Republicans get their narrow majority in the House. Do you notice that your race is any different without, you know, congestion pricing being in play now?
I mean, I haven't necessarily thought of it that way. I think that the governor's decision to listen to the people she represents and folks like me that were also channeling what we were hearing, I think she should be commended for. It's, in my mind, how government should work. This is a plan that had been, you know, sort of put in motion decades ago, and particularly given the economic pressure everybody's under, especially post-COVID, a recognition that it just, we can't add more economic pressure to people right now, especially working class, middle class people, I think was right. I mean, I think for me, I've tried to pride myself on being independent of both parties and speaking to what I think is important for my constituents. So this is an example of me speaking against a plan that largely was supported by most Democrats, including, the former governor, similar to calling out or calling on President Biden to step aside, similar to calling on President Biden to step up securing the border. I'm the kind of person that tries to speak what I think is the truth and in the best interest of my 800,000 constituents and the country, even if it means sort of going against the typical political calculus. So I think that is an example of that people seem to appreciate, but I think it's just, of course, one factor for folks.
What is your read on the close races in surrounding districts and your own? I mean, do you feel like your party has a good chance to take back the House, or is it too soon to tell?
Well, there's 68 days to go in a very volatile election where a lot has changed even the last few weeks. So I think I'll let the smart reporters and pundits and others weigh in on like you.
Who are those smart reporters?
But, well, you're definitely one, Ian, of course. But no, I think I won my last race by 1.3%, about 3,000 votes out of several hundred thousand voters. So I very much am aware that I am – that accountability is the watchword, which it always should be in every district. And I've got to earn every single one of the votes that hopefully we'll earn to continue to serve. I definitely am head down on you know, our district and ultimately our campaign here. So I'm not following a lot of the other races closely. I do think folks have seen, and I would validate, like a marked change in energy, enthusiasm, unity, excitement, joy.
There it is.
With Kamala Harris at the top of the ticket. And that's something that just people were longing for and feels good and feels positive. So that will definitely help.
Okay, we only have a minute left, but if you are reelected, and let's say your party is in power after the dust settles, what would be your top priority for the new Congress with a good chance to get a bill across the finish line?
Well, I think two core things to speak to: economic freedom and reproductive freedom, which have been my continued focus. On the economic freedom side, we've got to pass and put in place a more fair tax code. Vice President Harris proposed a series of middle class tax cuts in her remarks at the DNC, which I think are right and needed. And my specific bill, the Protecting Social Security Act, is going to be pivotal to protecting that fundamental right that I think that people have earned and paid into. On the reproductive freedom side, I have had legislation that I introduced in the last Congress carried into this one. Unfortunately, we haven't been able to get a vote on it, but it's called the Protecting Reproductive Freedom Act that would ensure access to abortion medication and other critical reproductive health care services that are absolutely under threat, not just in, you know, red states where we've seen these rollbacks since the Dobbs decision, but in New York, too. So those are, I think, the two big legislative priorities. In addition, I mean, we've got a lot of other things, but if you're forcing me to pick Ian, which I appreciate, those would be my top two.
Okay, we're out of time, but true or false, Aaron Judge gets to 63 homers.
God willing, as a Yankees fan, I'm excited to watch. Feels good.
That's New York Congressman Pat Ryan, a Democrat from the 18th District. He's been in office since 2022, and he'll be on the ballot this November. He's running for re-election against Republican Allison Esposito. Congressman Pat Ryan, we're very grateful for your time as always, and we'll see you on the next one.
Thanks, Ian.